Something that you can implement, because people let us know day after day that the stuff works for them. And one of their favorite phrases when they say, "How was it?" they tell me,
"That was easy."
Yes, and we're going to do it again today, because I'm wondering, I don't know if any of you yet have heard of Coach Karen. That's Karen Van Cleve, and she's a wonderful coach. One of the things that you're going to be interested to know, let's say you want to make your life better. Suppose you set goals and you get off to a great start, but you lose momentum and then finally have to give up. Or what if you know what you want, but you don't really have a great plan to get you there? Or I know for some of you, confidence might be an issue. So what if you wanted more self-confidence and self-assurance to pursue your dreams? You know, and then some of us may have some adversity in our life. What if the people in your life ridiculed your dreams or sabotaged your efforts? Well, there's a lot of things that can be done to support you. And then what about the times, from Karen's website, did you ever feel like your life is over, overworked, overcommitted, and overwhelmed? Well, get ready, folks. Karen is here to help us, and Karen Van Cleve is a recovering business consultant after more than 20 years in that business. As a business consultant, she was burned out, worn out, and fed up. And in 2002, Karen began her own business, Live Well Coaching, and to help her clients overcome stress and burnout and ignite the passion in their lives. Yes, Karen has a master's degree in business administration from the University of Colorado, graduated from Coach U, and which is a premier coach training institution. She's certified in a couple of different coaching styles, and is also working with Anthony Robbins' organization for results coaching. And some of you are going to want to look into her first book called 66 Simple Secrets to Save Your Sanity. Well, I'm still looking for mine, folks, so I'm going to for sure want to get that book of hers. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome to the show and for your entertainment, Karen. Karen, hello, hello.
Hello, Ken. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited.
And I hope you, I'll help you look for your sanity.
Okay. I know I had it here somewhere. Now tell me, you've got such a diverse background. So when it comes to coaching, kind of what really motivated you to get into this?
Oh, my goodness. Well, as you mentioned in my intro, I had been a business consultant for more than 15 years, and I was truly worn out. The stress, the pressure, the demands, the travel. What I noticed, though, is I loved helping people develop. I loved solving complex problems and moving things to a new capability, discovering potential that was untapped. And I actually learned about coaching and wanted to go to a coach to change my career. I said, I'm tired of doing this. I want to do what I'm really good at and what I love most. And as it turned out, I became one. I are one, as they say. And what it does is it's fabulous because it lets me help work with individuals to solve their complex problems, to change their lives in the way that works for them. And it is by far the most fulfilling thing I have ever done in my life. So I was very glad for my own, you know, difficult transition because it put me in a place of empathy to work with others who are going through the same thing.
Oh, yes. And of course, thankfully, you found a way out.
Yes. There is a way out, folks.
So we don't have to be stuck in stress and overwhelm.
Right.
Because that's rampant in our culture, in our fast-paced, can't do enough, can't do it fast enough culture here.
Right.
So, I'm just wondering, we have to change some of our habits, I guess, right?
If we're going to be
successful.
And you know what? Where it actually begins, Ken, which is, I loved your saying that was easy. Because, you know, changing habits without changing your thoughts is really hard. But when you begin with changing your thoughts and your belief systems, it's amazing how easy changing the habits becomes. There are several wonderful quotes, all very similar. I know Mahatma Gandhi's was one of them. You know, basically, you know, change your thoughts, you change your beliefs, you change your behavior, you change your habits. And ultimately, as you change your habits, you change your character, you change your destiny. And so it all begins with what you choose to think about. And the stress that our society is generating is all self-induced. It's all made up. And so just as we create that stress in our bodies, it feels very real, and certainly I was there, we can also very easily shift that thinking to remove the stress in the same way we created it. So yes, we do need to change our habits, but the place we need to change our habits first is our habitual thinking.
Okay. All right. Well, gee, that sounds like a great foundational place. Now, for people that have an interest or like to open different browsers at the same time and have multiple computers, you can go to Karen's website, which is karenvanclieve.com. And you can also, making notes here, email her at coachkaren@comcast.net. And for those of you that like to write this stuff down right away, phone 303-987-5957. Well, can I tell us a little bit more? So at the crux, it's about our thinking. Zig Ziglar said that some of us had stinking thinking.
Exactly. Exactly. And what's fascinating now is with MRI equipment, the magnetic resonance imaging, that we can actually watch the electrical activity in people's brains as they think about things. So we're really right now just voyaging into some really amazing discoveries about the brain. And what they're finding, for example, is that when you see something, so you look at a rose, and they can see that certain parts of your brain fire off when you are physically looking at a rose. But then if you close your eyes and you visualize that rose, the exact same places in your brain light up in almost the exact identical pattern. And what that, and then they've also done studies where they have had people, they took basketball players, and they had them actually shoot baskets to practice, and then they had some people just imagine shooting baskets and making them, and then they had some others that were kind of a combination. And the ones that just imagined shooting baskets successfully actually improved more than the ones who shot the baskets, because they missed sometimes. And so what that's showing us is the more that we can create thinking in our brain, the more we actually, it's like the more seeds you sow, the more you reap. The more positive thoughts you think, the more positive, I don't know, activity and thoughts come from that. And sure. The more senses that we use as we think, or as we think about these things, so you think about, hey, I would like to have twice the money I have now, or I'd like to have peace. What you can do then is visualize, what does that look like? You can tell people. That uses a different part of your brain. You can write it down. That uses another part of your brain. You can say it in affirmations or when you're exercising. That uses another part of your brain. And pretty soon these thoughts become habitual. Instead of the thoughts of stress, can I get it all done? What happens if I fail? All that other kind of stuff. So that's, you know, to me, that's a starting point that everyone can begin with right now.
And for someone that's stressed out and overwhelmed, and they may be just feel a bit stuck with that stress and what people might call negative mind chatter, or just where in their brain they're ranting and raving or just upset. I mean, so, because I know sometimes it can sound, well, that's really nice advice, but you don't sound all that stressed out and overwhelmed. I am, and it's hard for me to grab hold of my thinking here.
Exactly. I got kids. I got a mortgage. I got all this. Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And when you focus on that, I promise you'll be overwhelmed. I have a couple of pragmatic tips. So for the people who say, you know, okay, it's all well and good to think good thoughts, but, you know, what do I do when I'm overwhelmed and I can't even think good thoughts? I got my head swirling around. I am amazed at how simple this is. When a client uses language like I'm overwhelmed, or I have too many things coming at me, or everything's coming at me so fast, that's the language of overwhelm. And first of all, using that language helps you be more overwhelmed. So, you know, that right there, when I feed their language back to them, they get overwhelmed just hearing me say it to them. That's what they just said. With overwhelm, though, what I have found, and what studies have shown, is that overwhelm typically comes from having, you know, more than five things that we're trying to keep track of in our brains at once. So when you say, oh, I'm just so overwhelmed, I have so much to do, it's coming at me so fast, the first suggestion that I have is to write it down. So just pick up a pen and just start writing down, you know, here's where the overwhelm is coming from. And what I find is it's typically 5 to 7, maybe 8 things that are really creating the overwhelm. And what's funny is once people write those, you know, 6, 7, 8 things down, and suddenly they start feeling better. Like, is that all it is? And so they start looking for other things. Well, then I do need to go to this. So they want to go right back into that overwhelm. It's like, that's not enough. I shouldn't be overwhelmed with 6 or 7 things. So the first step is to write them all down. And then it's not, you're not having to hold it in your head. It's right there on the paper in front of you, and it becomes less scary, sort of like the monster in the closet. You know, once you turn on the light, it's not so scary. And then the second thing, I'm sorry, go ahead, Ken.
Oh, yeah.
And so once it's on the, I know I used to think that monster lived under the bed or in the closet and went away when the light went on. And so then the next step is to be so grateful for each of those things, because every single one of those things is an opportunity. Your kids are driving you crazy. Wow, you got you've got kids, and what if that was taken away from you? You know, you're worried about your mortgage. Thank goodness you have a home, you know, and a place to live. You know, so the second step is kind of an attitude of gratitude around all these things. And then the third step is to look at it, the third step then is to look at these things and say, okay, what is it that most needs to get done first? So yeah, they're all important. What's the one thing I can do right now that would make the biggest difference across all of these things? So that you can take one action instead of, you know, spinning around in place and saying, ah, it's too much. So take one action, and then that starts to help you feel like you're in control again.
Okay. Now, someone that's there, first of all, writing it down so that they're there in front of them instead of perhaps spinning around at warp speed in their brain.
Yes.
Because that slows it down when it's in front of you on the paper. And remember, mm-hmm. folks, don't jiggle the paper around. Let it stay flat on the table there, okay? Now, and then this attitude of gratitude, that just is such a wonderful thing to pause in the midst of things. And I got an email that bespeaks this, and I want to make mention. Have you, Karen, or maybe some of my listeners, had something go wrong, something you were late, or something someone didn't show up on time, and then a half hour, an hour, a day later, some amount of time later, it turned out that it was that something that didn't go as you expected was actually to your benefit?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of times things don't go as we suspect. I got an email about some people who didn't make it in to the Twin Towers on 9/11 for various reasons. Their washing machine, the taxi cab, something or other happened and made them late for work, which, of course, ended up saving their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an element that sometimes in the midst of overwhelm, I don't know if that would make any sense for us even to be grateful for some of that stuff that's going on that may not be pleasing, that could ultimately work to our advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And if you're so set on what you expect to have happen, you're not open for all the other things that could happen that are even better than what you expected.
So those surprises
uh-huh.
that can be wonderful gifts, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, now you're getting me curious about what good could be awaiting me in the midst of all my tasks.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I don't want you folks listening to start thinking that way, too. I'm getting curious.
Mm-hmm.
I call Karen for help now, you know, and that's at, what, 303-987-5957. You don't want to do that right away. Okay. So now in picking this one action step, any recommendations? I mean, if a person's sorting through this stuff, is it that important that they get the best thing or just take some action? What do you recommend?
You know, Ken, that is a great question. And I have seen a couple different strategies work. There's Brian Tracy has a really cute book out called Eat That Frog. And the idea behind the book is if you... is it making you hungry?
Oh, golly.
If you have to eat a frog...
you know what's green and red and goes 90 miles an hour?
What?
A frog in a blender.
Oh.
Okay.
I like mine straight up, thanks.
Okay.
So the idea is, if you have to eat a frog every day, that you want to just go ahead and eat that frog first thing in the morning and get it out of the way, because then your day's got to get better from there on, right? And so one school of thought says the thing that would most make you feel better, like, oh, thank goodness I got rid of that. So there's one school of thought that says, you know, pick off the most the thing that's weighing you down the most. Another school of thought is take any action, because any action, you know, the law of gravitational force of inertia is, you know, a body in motion stays in motion. So if you take any action, then you're now in motion, you now have a success, and you can step up to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing.
Okay.
Another approach that I often take with people is to get support for the action. So, for example, I just converted computers, which is just an agonizingly painful experience, and it was a really intimidating thing. I knew I needed to do it, but I just really was afraid of it. And so I lined up a friend of mine who's very good with computers, and I said, could you be available when this thing comes in and hold my hand going through it? And he said, absolutely. And boy, then it was easy to take action. You know, he got me through the scary part, and now, you know, and then I found I could do a whole lot of stuff myself once he got me over that little scary hurdle. So that, you know, it just kind of depends on what strategy might work for you and why you're stuck. Because often people are stuck because they don't know the next step, or they're afraid, or you know, they don't feel supported, you know, for various reasons. So it's a great question, and I don't have an absolute answer.
Okay, so I guess it could, if I'm hearing correctly, for us out there, Karen, you'd say, well, some form of action. You might be able to take some big step and, wow, just go for it. Or maybe just doing anything that gives you a chance. That old saying, how do you eat an elephant? You know the answer to this, right?
Mm-hmm. One bite. Right, back to the frog thing. One bite at a time.
Yes. One frog at a time, or bite just a tiny bite of that elephant, and so something that you can do, and then of course, once you've gone into motion. I don't know. Can we go back to that step two of the gratitude and get excited because we actually did something good?
Yes, absolutely. And that's something, when I started coaching, every single coaching call I begin with the question, what are we celebrating today? Because I think we do not celebrate ourselves and what we have in our lives nearly enough, especially celebrating ourselves. So we get 20 things done today, but there were 25 things on the list, and so we beat ourselves up over the 5 we didn't get done. And so what I have noticed with people is when you celebrate what does get done, it gives you that passion, that energy, that excitement to get the next 5 things done. Instead of saying, oh, I'm such a loser because I didn't finish, you say, I'm such a winner because I got so much done. Then we go back to that thinking again.
Yeah. Okay. So putting the thoughts into that, what's good, what got accomplished, and then allowing that celebration. Boy, now there's a cycle that could help you get some momentum, huh?
And when you're in celebration, it's really hard to feel stressed. I don't know that you can do both at the same time. I don't know if your nervous system can handle both of those things at the same time.
Probably not. So while Karen and I are talking, beloved listeners, I mean, it's okay. There may have been something, one thing. If one thing went right in your day, we can't normally hear you if you're in your home and you jump up out of your chair and yell, whoopee! Get all excited over anything that went good in your day, and we're just gonna take and keep on talking while you go ahead and celebrate and come back and listen and make some notes and remember to go visit Karen at www.karenvancleve, that's karenvancleve.com. And that phone number, for those of you that just tuned in, 303-987-5957 for how to move your lives ahead with the best coaching you could possibly imagine. Well, Karen, so what else? So we've got the step one, write down the stuff that we've got to do to take time to be grateful, get some attitude of gratitude going, and then take some form of action, whether it's a big or little one, loop back into that gratitude, or call it step four, celebrate it, and then where are we going from there?
Well, what that typically does is it reduces or eliminates that sense of overwhelm, because when you're overwhelmed, you really can't do very much from that overwhelmed state. So it's almost like, you know, if you're laying on the floor, it's a long way up to really be in motion. So, you know, if overwhelm is kind of the equivalent of laying on the floor, what we've just talked about at least gets you into a standing and upright position.
Okay.
So that you can move forward from there. And then what we were talking about with the celebrate, you know, again, stress is self-induced, and so we have to, some of the work that I do with Tony Robbins is about managing your emotional state. It's about managing how you feel at any given time of the day. And what Tony realized was that emotion doesn't happen to us; we create it. We are at choice about how we conduct our emotional lives. And there's a great term in a field of study called emotional intelligence called emotional hijacking. And emotional hijacking is when you have one of those moments, like somebody does something that really sets you off, and it could be anger, it could be sadness, it could be anything, and it's like for a few moments, you're not in control at all. Somebody's just hijacked your limbic system, and you're completely reactionary. Well,
oh, wow, it sounds like watching World Wrestling Federation or something.
Yeah.
Get them.
Yes. And that's when we're in our, like, animal states. You know, it's, cause, effect. And we're not really at choice in that moment. And what I want to point out to your wonderful listeners is it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to get stressed out every time your boss walks down the hall. You don't have to get frustrated every time your spouse does that thing that he or she does that drives you nuts. You know, you don't have to be emotionally hijacked. You can be in control. And the way that you do that, there are actually three components to it. And the first component is your physiology. So think about a time that you felt just really empowered, like you were unstoppable, you were on top of the world, anything was possible. And think about what was going on in your body at that time, how you were standing, the expression on your face, you know, were your shoulders hunched or relaxed, how were you breathing? Was it, you know, shallow and nervous, or was it deep and rhythmic? And if you right now, in this moment, wherever you are, you know, staring at your computer or wherever, right now I really encourage the listeners to, in that moment, you know, where you felt great, to mimic that with your body right now. And typically what people tell me is they sit or stand really straight and tall, and their shoulders are back, and their chin is up, and they've got a smile or a look of confidence on their face. And they're breathing really deep and strong. And that all by itself will begin to shift your state. And if you want to amplify it right now for the listeners at home, unless, you know, if you're holding a steering wheel or something, you know, don't try this. But, you know, if you can.
Or the baby.
Or a baby. Well, you might be able to do it with a small baby.
Oh.
But raise your arms over your head like you're about to cross a finish line. You're in the lead and you're about to cross the finish line. Raise your arms over your head. Look up at the ceiling. Smile. Take a big, deep breath and then say, "I feel lousy." And when you do that, your nervous system goes, "Oh, that's silly. I heard you laugh, Ken. Like, how can you do that?" And what that's doing is the body is saying, I feel great. And when the mind tries to say, oh, I feel lousy, the body overrides it. It says, no, you don't. And that was, you know, if you laughed or you went, you know, some like how weird is that? That was your nervous system saying, it's not right. What you just tried to tell me isn't right. And so when you put yourself in a really strong physiology like that, take a nice deep breath, get your chin up, get a smile on your face, you'll automatically start to beat that stress or that emotional hijacking, that one thing alone.
Okay. So our posture, our how our body is positioned, or where our head is, or just all of that stuff has a direct relationship, if I'm hearing you, to our emotional state.
Yes. Think about a person who's depressed. Every single person will describe the physiology of a depressed person the same way, everywhere in the world. Ask a person, you know, think about somebody who's confident. They will describe the same physiology everywhere in the world. If you change your body, yeah. I'm sorry, Ken. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So by changing that posture, okay, that gives a chance to I guess basically reclaim that control over the emotions.
Yes.
So the old saying, someone was down in the dumps, or things are looking down, or looking, you know, versus things are looking up. So those old sayings actually had some wisdom, it sounds like.
Yes. And that language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And our language mirrors our state. So I talked about the overwhelm. Clients saying, I feel so overwhelmed, or everything's coming at me so fast. I can tell by their language the emotional state they're in. And that's another part of creating your own emotional state, is the language that you use. If you say, I feel so down in the dumps, and your head is down, and your shoulders are slumped, I promise you there is nothing that I can say that's going to change that. But if I do something to shock you, and your head comes up, and your shoulders come back, and like I startle you and make you laugh, your emotional state will change.
Yes. That's great.
So that's where, when people are stressed, overwhelmed, frightened, if you're scared, and so you're breathing shallow, your shoulders are hunched forward, you're sort of in that fetal position, do what I just described. Get the arms up and out. Look at the ceiling. Say, I feel fabulous. I'm confident. And when you are in that physiology and you look at the ceiling, you take a deep breath, you smile, and you say, I feel great, you won't have that. You'll have congruity. Your brain and your body will go, okay, yeah, I believe you.
Wow. You know, as you're describing that, I'm looking at a space on my wall where I can now imagine pictures that I would cut out of different athletes celebrating accomplishment, whether it was a touchdown or winning a race or something. Because, you see that kind of exuberant, outstretched physiology of victory.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing pictures of that in my mind was feeling good. And I know listeners out there, if you start remembering different events, and it can be back into high school, junior high, who knows, watching a Super Bowl game, anything where someone is celebrating,
mm-hmm.
and calling that to mind and noticing that physiology. Boy, that sounds like fun.
Well, and that's a great point. At a football game, when your team scores, what do the people in the crowd who are cheering for that team do?
They leap to their feet.
And they high-five everybody around them.
Yay!
Arms are up. Physiology is all up. They got a big smile on their face. It is part of our nervous system that when we feel that way, that's what our bodies do. And so all that we've done with this is reverse it, where you do your body first, and the nervous system says, okay, I must feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, because what was it? I don't know if it was Tony or someone that kind of had a challenge to us, and you'd made mention of that. When you get in that real strong physiology, you're standing, you're breathing powerfully, you're looking up, you're celebrating, and then to think of some stressful circumstance, it just doesn't have the feeling there, does it?
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Ah, wow. Yeah. So that's an instant way, is that you're sharing with us, a literally instant way to get out of some of those negative feelings.
Yes. Now, what I will tell people is when the first time that you drove a car, you know, and of course you had to concentrate fully on driving that car, and you probably didn't, you know, like jump on the highway or four wheel on a narrow mountain road. It was like you drove slowly around a parking lot where you hopefully wouldn't hit anything. And then as you got more used to it, it became very natural, to the point that now when you drive, you're not even thinking about it. You just find yourself in your destination, and you can't remember the trip. It's the same with these tools. The more you practice these, especially in a comfortable environment, and so, you know, when you think about, okay, I'm gonna take care of that task. I'm gonna take that one task that we talked about at the beginning, and I'm gonna kick it. You know what? I'm just gonna get it done, and then you celebrate. The more that you do that, the more anchored it becomes in your nervous system, so that when you are in a stressful situation, you know, your boss comes up and says, you know, what happened here, where you would normally go into that stressful situation, what you can do in that moment is you're conditioned to just kind of get your physiology like that, you know, focus on being successful, handling this well, take a deep breath, and then that emotional state is available for you to handle that difficult situation. But if you only practice it when your boss comes storming up to you, it's not going to be there. It's like trying to jump on the highway after you've driven once. So I really encourage people to practice this, you know, practice being in a great state. As you're driving your car, you know, sit up really straight, smile, and say, I am fantastic, I am relaxed, I am at peace. Everything in the world is mine. You know, whatever works for you. And that gets your nervous system going, okay, yeah, we can do that. And then, again, you know, it's kind of anchored in you know, who you are, and then it's available whenever you want it.
Hmm. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are driving and you happen to see people really excited and carried away for no apparent reason, don't give it a second thought. Join in. Celebrate with them. Okay.
There you go. We could start a trend.
Yeah. Road rage. Well, frankly, I'm too happy. I can't participate in that.
There you go.
Yeah. Well. Wow. So a person could be doing, like, if there's stressful circumstances, then dress rehearsals outside of the circumstance. If I heard you correctly.
Yeah.
Something at work
would
be bugging them, but you'd suggest that to do that really strong feeling and that excitement let's see, what is it? There's some term. I mean, because I guess to be able to get the feeling without, because I was just imagining it could be a little too much to have someone, the boss comes up and says, why isn't this report done correctly? And they leap on their desk and raise their hands and go, I'll get it, boss.
Well, and that's where the conditioning comes in. Because to feel really strong at first, you might have to jump up and go, yay, woohoo, and that sort of thing. But the more you do that, remember where I started with the visualization, imagining a rose and then, or looking at a rose and then imagining it. So the more this is anchored in your nervous system, just as the imagined rose could fired off the exact same parts of the brain, just thinking, right now I'm feeling confident. Right now I can handle any situation. All you have to do is think that. You have to just remember, I feel confident. And it's right there. It's accessible. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't 20 years ago in on the high school track team you last felt confident. It was on your way to work this morning that you last felt confident. And it's right there, accessible to your brain and your body. So you don't have to jump up on the table. All you have to do is think it, and it's right back there with you.
Mm. And then confidence, I guess, is, I'm not sure if it, now, could a person, let's say they may have a task and it may be a little new to them, but suppose they take time to think of things that they can do well, and it can be simple things. It could be tying a shoe, it could be driving a car, it could be whatever, just anything that we've learned, because we've all, as becoming adults, have learned so much over the years that someone can say, well, what's your confidence that you can open a door, or you can tie your shoes? I mean, people say, 110%, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can they use those kind of experiences for building that confidence to use in other circumstances where they may not have a lot of experience?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and that is one of the things that I'm working with clients, and they say, I'm just not very good at whatever. And I'll say, well, how about, you know, so they'll say, I'm just not very confident. And I'll say, what are your thoughts about being a good parent? And they'll say, well, of course I'm a good parent. And I'll ask, how do you know that? And so I can tell by how they describe themselves as a parent that they know how to be absolutely confident. And then I'll say, well, how did you get so confident about being a parent? And they'll tell me. And now we have the recipe for this other area. So I remember reading in a book about sports psychology that confidence is learned, cumulative, and based on experience. So it's learned, cumulative, and based on experience, like any other skill, right? And
yeah.
So what I love about that is it says you can be confident just by practicing being confident.
Yeah.
You know, by taking the action, celebrating it, saying, I did great. And instead of saying what I didn't do, I say, I did great. And then that adds, that accumulates in my confidence account. And then I just keep stretching myself and saying, oh, now I can do that. Oh, now I can do that. And so it just builds up to the point where, you know, because you choose to focus on what you're doing well, like parents do, you can build your confidence in anything.
Mm, okay. Well, to me, those are some great things, because people can go out and invest a bunch of money in different therapeutic processes to overcome this emotion or that emotion, and here in just a few minutes, you have shared some techniques that can help us to really get back in control of some emotions, and especially in important circumstances, and to boost our attitudes with more celebration and more gratitude. Wow, I mean, those I think are fabulous tips that a person could, you know, can begin to immediately implement. Now, I'm wondering, because with all your experience, you probably get into a lot more nuts and bolts with someone that has maybe specific circumstances. I don't know if you help, you know, with planning and some of the details of other aspects of your coaching. Would you kind of share some of that too?
Sure, I'd love to. One of the Tony Robbins' great statements is any goal is 80% psychology and 20% mechanics. And so, yes, I do work with people on time management skills and creating a plan and that sort of thing, and that is great. However, has anybody listening ever made a great plan or read a book, a how-to book, and you didn't implement it? Ken, you were talking about that at the beginning, you know, all your good intentions, and you still don't act. And so a big part of what I do as a coach is to tap into the psychology that works best for you. So draw out your strengths. Find out what your belief systems are that both serve you and stop you, like driving with the brake on. You know, you're trying to move forward, but you got these old beliefs that are just dragging on you. And so we look at belief systems, and I was working with someone yesterday, and she wanted to make some calls, some marketing calls, but she had such a strong belief that she was interrupting people or they would reject her or whatever. So we worked on her psychology so that she could change how she was looking at that situation. And then I challenged her to take the action, because you can't change the psychology without then taking the action. And she sent me an email back and said, that was great. You know, I caught one person on the phone, and we had a great talk, and they loved the products. And then she was jazzed. She was ready. You know, she said, I'm ready to make the calls now.
Yeah.
So before she had a plan, but the psychology wasn't there to actually execute on it. And so that is a big part of what I do. And then also, you mentioned it earlier, Ken, about where, you know, people are afraid to share their dreams or to, you know, take action on the dreams because they've been told that it's unrealistic or you can't make money at that or you're too old or you're too whatever. And so that's, you know, that's a great thing that coaching can support people on, is giving you space for those dreams, creating a plan that will work for you so that you can ignite that passion in your life. That's the most fulfilling work that I do, is having people actually doing what they love to do in life instead of what they feel like they have to do.
Mm.
So you can tell I'm passionate about it myself.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, and you have your own experience to draw from after all those years in a corporate setting to found a way out and now to be doing something that you have so much enthusiasm about it. No wonder. No wonder you're good at this coaching. You know where we've been, and you're not there anymore, and you know the pathway out of it, and you're happy to share the solution. Folks, you're in for a treat when you visit www.karen, K-A-R-E-N, V-A-N-C-L-E-V-E.com. And, of course, emails can be sent to Coach Karen, that's C-O-A-C-H-K-A-R-E-N, at comcast.net. And the direct phone line for getting more information or for beginning coaching sessions is 303-987-5957, and that is in the Colorado area as far as time zones go, folks. Wow. Oh, this is good news. I know I'm sitting up better and feeling better just from being on the phone with you. And I'm sure my listeners, if they're sitting out there, some of them are probably going to be wondering, how long do I need to sit here with my arms raised?
Until it sticks.
Until you can't get that grin off your face because you're so happy. Woo!
Well, and thank you, Ken, for your show. Your show is a blessing to people, and what you do to help bring tools and experience to your listeners. So I wanted to thank you for what you do in the world.
Well, it's a pleasure. We've both in our own ways been on a search, and I got led by, quote, accident, if you want to call it an accident, to 7 years living under high-tension power lines, which opened a pathway for me to discover the importance of addressing electromagnetic fields that can inhibit progress for so many people. And now, when you visit advancedliving.com, you'll find some proven ways to lift yourself instantly out of that environmental stress. There's just so many things that when we address these things, it makes a big difference. Now your book, are there any little taste treats? Because, you know, 66 simple secrets to save your sanity, and I know there's not enough S's in that sentence.
I have tips like be grateful or take care of one thing. So you've already heard some of the tips. Another one is that might be appropriate here is set worry aside, tip number 33. And I list some very specific things that you can do to set worry aside. Play, just for just do something for the sheer fun of it. So each of the secrets is just a few sentences long, and the book is small. It's like the size of a passport, so you can put it in a glove box, in a pocket, in a purse. I had someone tell me that she and her boyfriend got caught in traffic, and her boyfriend was starting to get angry and yell at the traffic, and she said she remembered the book, pulled it out, and started reading some things to him, and it shifted his state. He was no longer angry.
Oh.
So, and wow. you can buy the book through my website, and I also wanted, you know, because I so appreciate what you're doing, Ken, and I'm so thrilled that people are listening, that I do want to offer a 40-minute coaching session to listeners. Just call or email me. Let me know that you heard about this from the show. And I would love to support you in, you know, taking any one step, any step, in creating a change in your life, if that's something of interest to you.
Wow. Did I hear correctly? Listeners could call and get a complimentary 40 minutes with you?
40 minutes, no obligation. Just I will be there totally to serve you.
Mm. Wow. Well, if it's not your birthday, it just became your birthday, folks. There's a gift here for you.
And I do also want to let people know that they can sign up for my free e-zine. So if you want a little dose of Karen every couple of weeks, you can do that.
Oh, okay. And that's where you provide little tips and just, I don't know, do you share success stories or what kind of format do you use?
The format is I have a theme for the newsletter, so I share a couple of quotes, and then I have a story that, you know, kind of a situation, and then specific tips, and then I also share resources. So, for example, a recent one was The Power of Presence, and I talked about how we can really amplify the effects in our lives and decrease the effects of things like stress in our lives by being fully present. And in that issue, then, I also shared meditation resources and some classes mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. So it's, you know, I keep it brief, power-packed, and you know, the whole point is it's called the spark to ignite passion in your life. So it's all about how to live more, you know, more fully and with greater passion.
Hmm. Ooh, you gotta love that. Wow, that's extraordinary. I'm really pleased. So for the whole range of things, I want to do just a little recap because I know not everyone was making written notes. But one of the things when we're starting off on our path, if I think. You'd help us to get started when there's a lot going on. First thing, write those things down so you know specifically what you're dealing with and they're not just spinning around in the head or coming at you at 9,000 miles an hour like your warp speed. So we can slow that down by writing it down, huh?
Mm-hmm. Great point.
And then this attitude of gratitude. Take time to think about or maybe even write down some things that you're grateful for. And it can be as simple, I guess, as just, hey, I'm still breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, I had food today. And be lavish with your gratitude. And then to come up with one step that you can take that is an action step so that you can actually do one thing to move ahead on the tasks that you have to do. And it could be taking on the big one if you're feeling particularly frisky, just get it. Or if you just want to get started easy, just do something and get something done and then bingo, celebrate it. Get excited mm-hmm. about moving ahead and give yourself that thrill because you deserve it. And then some of that exercise about the physiology to be able to control our emotions and to remember times that we felt powerful or confident or times that we've seen other people celebrating or confident or powerful and just to vividly imagine those.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, folks. Now, I don't want you to take all this in and feel great for the rest of the day and then go call up Karen at 303-987-5957 for that 40-minute birthday gift of yours of a wonderful consultation. I just thank you for being a guest and making things better for me and for my listeners. Karen, you have a wonderful week. And my beloved listeners, I thank you for tuning in and just to pause to call forth the divine grace of the universe to bless all of our lives so that we may be healthier, happier, and bring more peace and prosperity to all of us. Thank you. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Ken. It was a blast.
Oh, good. Good fun for all. And tune in next week. We'll have a lot more fun again. Blessings and goodbye for now. Let go and let God, let myself lose and let go.